Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI.
This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and the upcoming schedule. Now here's Paul Jay, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Well, top of the morning, Paul Jay, Chris, and Bob Beeler in this morning on a Bronco Monday, and Broncos finally put it together, had their first 50-point effort of the year, and looked really good in beating Hawaii.
Well, and I think it was just a total effort, especially in the first half, and that's where I'm really going to judge to. It was 35-3 at halftime. The defense had only allowed 3 first downs and 3 points. They were on point. They got 2 turnovers in the game. The offense wasn't close to giving Hawaii anything. I can't remember the ball being on the ground once, and I don't think there was anything close to being intercepted.
Nope.
Rippon, I thought, had his most efficient game all season. Everything he threw was right to players. 2 receivers over 100 yards. McNichols over 150. I don't know that you could put it together more. I know Hawaii is not one of the upper echelon teams in the league, but they took care of business and moved on and got a break with Wyoming beating UNLV. Losing to UNLV in 3 overtimes.
Yeah, that was. I was keeping an eye on that game because I kept waiting for UNLV to fold.
Yeah, and let me
and
ask
they
you.
Never did.
Never saw the game. All we saw were the score updates on the phone. Did they change a rule in college football? Did they only let the defense have 8 guys?
Yeah.
Because every time you turned around, a minute or two later, the other team scored.
And they'd go up by like 10 or 17, and then boom, it'd be tied, and you're going, what? It was amazing.
Yeah. So that was the break Boise State needed coming into last week's game for Boise State to get to the Mountain West Championship. They needed, assuming there wasn't a 3-way tie,
right.
If it was just going to be a 2-way tie with Wyoming, and now a 3-way tie, I don't want to say is possible because New Mexico is tied, but New Mexico still has to play Wyoming the last game of the season. So somebody's going to get, well, unless Boise State loses a game. But if Boise State wins out, there will not be a 3-way tie. Boise State would want the 2-way tie with New Mexico because they win that tiebreaker, not with Wyoming. I figured this coming week, Wyoming might lose to San Diego, and then you were hopeful maybe they'd lose to New Mexico. Mm-hmm. This to me was a gift.
Yeah, it was a real gift. And New Mexico was down 17-3 and came back to beat Utah State. So that wasn't a gimme either. It was amazing. But the bricks fell where they should have for Boise State.
Most points, most yards that they've put up on the board. The last 2 games, the offense, I think, has really started to click. And I think it's maybe more so gone because they've started to run the ball first. Teams have tried to stop McNichols, and that opens things up for Brett Rippon. So I like the way they're playing. UNLV obviously has to come in with confidence this Friday night. But, you know, if you're going to be the conference champion, UNLV is a team at home you have to beat.
No question.
Saturday night when the score was 35-3 at halftime, I flashed back to the Houston-Buffalo playoff game years ago in the NFL when it was 35-3 at halftime and Buffalo won 41-38. But that didn't happen.
Frank Reich was not playing quarterback for a while.
True. That's true.
You know, this is a game, again, where the BSU stars, if you will, all played well. Spurbeck, Wilson, McNichols, and, of course, Rippon.
And maybe I shouldn't be looking ahead, but I think sometimes it is fun to look ahead. San Diego State's defense is very good.
Yes.
Very good. And I mean, we're talking like nationally good.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder what they've seen offensively. The Mountain West Division, Western Division, other than San Diego State, is a bunch of candy.
Yep.
And so they've eaten a lot of sweets. And you wonder if maybe San Diego State's defense hasn't seen something this explosive all season.
And, they just now made the top 25.
I think San Diego State's very good. And
yeah,
I think to beat San Diego State in the championship game is going to take quite an effort. But I also think for San Diego State to beat Boise State, it would take quite an effort.
And we also, we saw with Washington, you know, how an easy schedule sets you up. Their defense was expected to be great, and SC just ran over them, under them, and around them.
Well, I think in fairness to SC, it's not the same SC team that opened the year against Alabama and looked very
poorly. But what I'm saying is maybe the defense hadn't played anybody for San Diego State. Like Washington's hadn't.
When you look at Boise State, they right now, I would think, are going to be either right behind Western Michigan by one spot again,
yep.
Or who knows. Western Michigan didn't look that effective this week. You wonder if at one point somebody's going to look and say, you know what, they're better than Western Michigan, whether the committee, the ones that come out tomorrow night, college football poll, would they make a move? Would they put Boise State ahead?
I don't think so.
Not yet?
Not yet. That was going to add that. Not yet, but I think it could happen later on down the line. Also, I think they could lose to Toledo. KBOI News Time, 844. All right, it's 846. Paul J., Bob Beeler, Chris Walton. Coach was pretty fired up after the game.
Should be. I mean, again, every phase of the game they look good at, which, you know, I think the last 2 weeks you can probably say that. They've taken care of business. Coach Harsin joined us on the broadcast after the game. He talked about the keys to the victory.
We took the ball, wanted to go down there and try to punch it in. We were able to do that. I think the biggest key tonight is we won the turnover battle, 2-0. And for us, that's been a big point of emphasis. We're able to run the ball effectively, and I thought Brett was very efficient again. So overall, you know, defense played well. Had a few runs in there, but we did win the turnover battle that way. And then I think ultimately our guys were just excited to play. They showed up here. They were ready, and they were mentally prepared to go out there and play their best.
Yep, and I agree with everything you said.
And, you know, you get the turnover, you're ahead 21-0, you cash it in almost immediately, it becomes 28-0, and then you get another turnover on Hawaii's first possession of the third quarter, and then you cash that in immediately, and if it wasn't over at 35-3 at the half, it was over 42-3, and then the play that I thought maybe just put Boise State over the top and maybe was trying to get a little style points. First play of the fourth quarter, Rippon goes deep to Spurbeck for 44
yeah,
yards. And it's
awesome.
Like, I think to me that was a statement kind of play, that we're back and we're good.
Yep. I think so. Style point statement, too.
And then Coach talked about Brett Rippon. Again, he had a fantastic day. His numbers, 18 completions, 22 attempts, 338 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Very efficient, very good decisions. There was a lot of plays out there that we didn't have the right look that he got us out of. And I think those are things that people don't give him enough credit for is how many times, you know, we're not getting ourselves into a bad play, and he's able to handle that. And to me, that's a quarterback that spends time preparing and mentally understands how important his position is. So I thought today was one of the best games I've seen him operate. And then also execution-wise, when you have those type of stats, that's showing up as well.
Made the short passes early, made some long passes early, and then obviously called the run plays to McNichols, and you know it was a well-oiled
masterful
offensive machine.
You're back.
And McNichols didn't do much in the second half. Why trot him out there when you got a big lead? He had another big game, 8 out of 10 times this year, over 100.
I think he's another guy, just like the rest of them, that's ready to play. When he knows his number's going to get called, and so he shows up on game day, and he's a big spark plug for us and gets us going. And he did again today. And then having Alexander in there and a few other guys and some opportunities to run the ball some different ways, that's how we're going to try to win football games, and it showed up today.
And I think one of the things that's impressed me more about McNichols this year than last year, and he did have a very good year last year, is it seems like he gets extra yards this year when he knows when to cut.
Yep.
It seems like he get maybe 10 last year on the run, and this year he's going to get 20.
Yeah, he follows his blockers so well. It's awesome.
And then had a chance to ask Coach, the last question was, I kind of compared it to 2 years ago, wanted to know if this team was peaking in the last half of the season.
Well, I hope so. We have to prove that. That's the one thing. You know, nothing's final until this season is over, and we won today. We did it in a fashion that we're hoping to come in here and play like. And then we got to turn that back around and go play a UNLV team that's obviously had a big win today. And, you know, they're excited about what they're doing. So we get back at home. It's senior night, and there's a lot of different emotions that might go into that game. But we just got to go back to what we do. Just focus on what we can control, our process. That's when we operate our best. If we get too far ahead of ourselves, we put ourselves in a bad situation.
Now, the last 2 weeks of the season, Paul J., they're going to face teams that can run the ball. 253 yards a game, 5.7 for UNLV, and then we know Air Force is one of the top five running teams in the country. If Boise State is to close the season 2-0, they're going to have to stop the run.
Yeah, and it all starts this week on Friday, and then a week from Friday, a day after Thanksgiving, they get a chance to get revenge on the fourth team that beat them last
year. And I think if you told me that I'd have to have a short week for one and a normal week for the other, I think I'd rather have the normal week for Air Force. I mean, I don't think Air Force is nearly as good as they've been the last two seasons. That being said, they've won some games after their little three-game losing streak. They're 7-3. You still have to handle that option. It's a different option than New Mexico, and I think that it's going to be a tricky last game. I think they'll beat UNLV at home. I have every confidence in the world, not to say that I don't, against Air Force, but I think to get that last win on Friday, to put the pressure the next week on Saturday on Wyoming, Air Force is not going to be an easy win. That is going to be a tough game.
Yeah, it would be nice to run the string out, you know, instead of, like, losing to Air Force.
No, I don't. No. But you know what's funny? The way New Mexico's playing, the way Wyoming's playing, I don't think you can get to the championship game without going 2-0 the rest of the season.
I agree. It's 8:51.
Now, back to Bronco Monday on the home of the Broncos, 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. It's 8:53. As we mentioned the ratings, Boise State in the rankings, 22nd on AP, 23rd on the coaches poll, and San Diego State, two behind them in both polls, 24th and 25th. So good for the conference to have two teams ranked.
Absolutely. And if you're the conference and you want to get a team to Dallas, the best thing you can hope for is for Boise State to win the Mountain, San Diego State to win the West, both teams at 11-1. Put on an outstanding show, and then hopefully, let's say Western Michigan wins the rest of their games. If one of the teams looks really good and beating another really good team, maybe that you can jump and get in there at 11-1 versus 12-0.
Yeah. Western Michigan's had a nasty habit of falling behind early in their last two games.
And they've been able to recover against teams that are substandard.
Right.
They have another easy game this week against Buffalo, a team that hasn't won half their games. Yeah. Their last game's going to be against Toledo. And if That'll you don't be beat tough. Toledo, they won't win the division.
No.
Because Toledo's a division game, and Toledo's a team right behind them. They have one conference loss, I think Toledo does. But if Toledo would win that game, they would get the tiebreaker, and Western Michigan would be sitting home.
Yeah. It's terrible how that happens. And
how about five of the top
situation to Boise State?
Exactly. How about five of the top 10 losing Saturday?
2, 3, and 4 lost same day for the first time since 1985.
Right, and games that you Pitt at Clemson.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I would never have thought that one. Clemson's had some close shaves. Let's see, who was USC over Washington? I think you could kind of see.
Yeah, I could kind of see that.
Even though it was in Seattle.
And then Iowa, Michigan.
And that was one, based on what Iowa had done the week before, you couldn't see that. Or at least I couldn't.
No, but they were wild and frenzied. And looked like Michigan got a little nervous early. And their offense wasn't working. Their quarterback got beat up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
still a lot of football left to be played.
Oh.
Half the month of November. We will have our coaches show this week, Coach Harsin Weekly, Wednesday night. So it's a little bit earlier. Wednesday night at 7. Reason is the basketball game from Charleston is going to take place Thursday night. So Wednesday night at 7, Coach Harsin Weekly.
And basketball Thursday, Friday,
5 o'clock.
Saturday,
Thursday,
right?
Friday, Sunday.
Sunday. Thursday, Sunday. Friday, Sunday. Football Friday.
Friday. 7 o'clock kickoff. An earlier start.
Wow. Yeah, an earlier start. Because it will screw with the basketball game.
Exactly.
Which will be on.
Basketball game, if you're looking for it, will be on AM 13.
AM.
Yep. And, of course, all the football action right here on 670 KBY.
Busy week.
Very busy.
All right, Bob, thank you. Best of luck. Broncos take on UNLV. And as Bob mentioned, 7 o'clock start.
And a big game Wednesday night. Volleyball playing basically for the conference championship. We'll have Sean Garris here tomorrow on Bronco Tuesday, volleyball coach.
Going for 12 in a row. Got to like it. They've been dominant. All right, it's 8:56. Idaho Talks Live. 1 hour coming up after a news break. Top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris on a Monday morning. A lot of Donald Trump stuff today.
And every day.
Well, there will be for a while as we try to figure out, A, who his cabinet's going to be, B, how his campaign promises are going to change.
There were a lot of people
change, and they always do.
A lot of people complained about his transition team because they said he named lobbyists and what is it, Reince Priebus from the RNC, and a lot of people who have been longtime politicians or diplomats or longtime lobbyists. And that would seem to be just more of Washington, D.C., which he has promised to get us away from.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of thought, and I talked to my dad over the weekend, and he said the same thing independently, that this would be the time for him to get Republicans on his side, because not that many Republicans are on his side.
True.
And by that, I mean the rank and file Republicans, the ones in Congress, the governors, all those different people. And if you start asking their advice, and, you know, at least pretending or making an effort to take it, then, you could get more people on your side, at least the Republicans. I don't think the Democrats will ever be on his side.
Well, but look how nice he was to Obama after just ripping him in the campaign, and the same thing to Hillary after just ripping her in the campaign.
And I will give this to Hillary Clinton and to Barack Obama. They both handled themselves with complete class after the election.
Exactly.
So, you know.
And the wall
it should be a smooth transition no mater what.
Wall's another thing. USA Today says the wall along the southwest border with Mexico was one of the president-elect's signature campaign promises as he railed against illegal immigration and vowed to seal the borders against criminals, terrorists, and millions of people trying to enter the United States illegally. Now immigration experts are trying to figure out how these policies will work in a Trump administration. And now Trump actually used the word fence over the weekend instead of wall,
which has
a somewhat different connotation.
I think if he's still planning on pushing the wall, he may be thinking it's further down the road than immediately. Because he always said, it's just as soon as I'm elected, we'll get this going and this going and this going. This may be something that's further down the road because it's more difficult to talk certain people, especially in Congress, into it because it's expensive.
Yeah,
that's the main reason.
It is expensive.
And, of course, the other way, if you have people streaming into the country, that's expensive, too. So you just have to figure out which one's more expensive. However, he has changed the way he says it a lot. Now, you said he mentioned the word fence, but he has also said we're going to, as soon as we secure the border.
Yeah.
And so, that can mean a lot of different things.
The possibly easiest change Trump can make is redirecting the Department of Homeland Security to ramp up deportations, which are also expensive.
Well, and he said yesterday that he's going to continue kind of a hardline immigration stance.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially against criminals.
He plans to immediately deport approximately, he said, between 2 and 3 million undocumented immigrants, those who have gotten into trouble.
Yep.
And he said, what we're going to do is get the people that are criminal and have criminal records, gang members, drug dealers, where a lot of these people, probably 2 million, it could be even 3 million, we are getting them out of our country or we are going to incarcerate, Trump said on 60 Minutes last night. But we're getting them out of our country. They're here illegally.
Trump would need congressional approval to hire more Border Patrol agents to monitor the frontier and Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents to round up immigrants living in the interior of the country.
Yeah.
He doesn't need any new money to change the focus of immigration agents who are already in place, according to Ali Noorani, executive director of the National Immigration Forum, an immigrant advocacy group.
And to be fair, I think the things that he's talking about doing, there have been people whose job it is to do those things for a long period of time
who simply have not been doing it. Trump could unilaterally revoke deportation protections President Obama created under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program known as DACA. I had somebody call me at home last night and say there was a story apparently in the paper yesterday. I didn't see it. Which talked about an immigrant who was brought here illegally.
As a baby.
As a baby, yeah, 6 months old or whatever.
And has grown up here and is, 18 now or something?
And has grown up here and speaks only English and and knows only American customs.
But has gotten into some trouble.
Has gotten in trouble with the law, and now they're going to deport him. And the story was very sympathetic to the young man.
And the part that would shock a lot of people is simply he's going to be deported to some place he's never even been.
He's never been. He knows nobody. He doesn't speak the language. Mm-hmm. The whole shooting match. And the guy who called me said, hey, he got in trouble with the law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't want to have that hanging over your head, don't get in trouble with the law.
Yeah, don't get convicted.
And, yeah. Do you agree with that?
Well, I agree with don't get in trouble with the law.
Well, yeah, I mean,
and
we kind of live by that.
It's always been a rule that when people are discovered to be in the country illegally, they are shipped out of the country. It hasn't always been in practice, but it's always been a law. And yes, a lot of the ways that they decide who gets to be shipped out first, well, who's getting arrested?
Yeah.
For various other things.
Yeah. And
because, you know, even if you've got a green
card. I don't know what crime he was arrested for or anything.
Even if you come into the country completely legally and have a green card and are here for years, if you start getting into trouble, they send you back home.
Yeah.
Wherever home is.
Yeah. But when you get here when you're 6 months old,
mm-hmm.
home is here.
And so technically he was born a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
But so it's a strange.
He wasn't. Yeah.
Well, true. Yeah.
It's amazing stuff. All right. We got a couple of phone calls. We'll be back. KBOI News Time, 9:15. All right, so we are back. KBOI News Time, 9:18. Rewards code, FENCE, FENCE, FENCE. Go to 670KBOI.com, enter FENCE. Earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
Somebody called up and pointed out I had something wrong. The guy we were talking about was brought to the United States as a baby.
Yeah, and
was
a couple
not,
of months old.
And I was thinking he was born in the United States, like his mother got here when she was expecting.
Oh, anchor baby?
So, no, not an anchor baby, and then not born a U.S. citizen after all.
Right.
So, yeah.
Deportable.
Deportable, subject to deportation, whatever you want to say.
All right, Paul J., play of the game. I got in an automobile accident Saturday night. Destroyed my car. It didn't do me much good either, so I wasn't here for the game. But I did send in my play of the game. If you know what that is, call now at 336-3711, 336-3711. All right, let's go to the phones now. And Steve of Boise. Steve, good morning.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Oh, you're doing a great job. Hey, you know, you guys are just talking about the 18-year-old, and my word is to this, what part of illegal don't we understand here? You know, and the notion that don't do anything to break the law, you've already broken the law, bro. You know you're here. You know you're illegal. You're 18 years old. You know that's a true deal.
Yeah.
Why didn't you do something before now about it? See, this is the problem, Paul G. There's been no consequence in this country. It's been a free-for-all. You know, Hillary Clinton's a fine example. Most people have gone to prison or in prison now for half of the stuff she's done. And, you know, that's the bottom line. You know, you come through the front door, like Trump said. You know, back in the day, I have parents and relatives that were immigrants, you know. Hey, you come through Ellis Island, and guess what? They check you out there. You know, they find out who you are. If you're sick, you get quarantined until you're well, or you get sent back. You don't bring infectious diseases in here. You know, the problem is it's been a big free-for-all, and everyone knows it, Paul G. Everyone knows it's true.
Well, and, you know, it did. You know, in fairness to everybody, it's been happening forever.
Exactly
I remember
right.
during the Eisenhower administration in the 50s. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it's been happening to whether where you arrive in this country illegally and you just keep a low profile and don't try not to disturb anything.
Right.
So nobody shines a light on you. But you're right.
Yeah.
They are breaking the law. They're absolutely right.
You know, the thing, Paul J., is this, and it's another thing. I thought Trump made a great gesture, and I'm going to have to call my little buddy at your 3 o'clock program and tell him, I told you so, Steve is calling to hammer him again. I had just shared with my wife, a great gesture from Donald Trump is if I was him and I got to be the president, I wouldn't even take pay for this job. And I just heard he announced today, I guess, he's not taking one dime
of
salary.
The weekend, yeah.
Yeah, he's not taking a salary and no big, long million-dollar vacations at the taxpayers' expense. There's too much work to be done. We're a mess. And I thought to myself, hallelujah, finally somebody, man.
Well, it's happened before. He's not the first one to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, at least, you know, hey, I don't need the money. We're in a mess. And I think that's why he won. You know, he went to all these Democratic states that have been a mess for 50 years. And he says, what do you guys got to lose, man? Get off the Democratic plantation. You voted these guys in for the last 50 years, and look at your cities. They're boarded up. Everything's gone. Nothing but graffiti. It's a mess. And I think that's why the people came out and voted, quite frankly.
One of the reasons. All right. Thanks, Steve.
Did you know that
Steve is into gloating these days?
Well,
I'm going to have to listen to this afternoon and see what he does tonight.
There are places in America that have been almost completely Democrat for years. Detroit is one of those. Flint,
yes.
Michigan is one of those. And people didn't turn out in very large numbers to vote.
Well, because they thought, I mean, maybe they believed all the polls they were reading.
You never know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been said there were between 80 and 100 million people eligible to vote in this country who did not.
Yep.
Now, I should point this out, and I think Trump should point it out, too, probably to the people who are afraid of him because they're in the country illegally, or to those who think that, you know, he'll be on a rampage to get rid of any foreigner. They don't seem to mention that during the Obama administration, more than 2.5 million people have been deported to other countries, a lot of them because they were arrested and then discovered. 2.5 million people. No other president in history ever deported that many people. So Obama is number one in deportation. Now, that doesn't count the number of people who may have self-deported, meaning they just left the country
and
went someplace else, you know, before the heat was on, or the number of people who were stopped at the border and were told to turn back. That doesn't account that number either. But there have been it's kind of going to be business as usual as far as deportations go if he deports between 2 and 3 million people, because that's what's been done the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, and the economy in 2007, as you said, self-deportation
People left. People left.
No jobs.
They couldn't get a job.
All right, let's go to Pam and the play of the game. Pam, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
What was the Paul J. play of the game?
Well, it was that pass interception by Chancellor James, and he ran it back for 33 yards, and later Boise State scored, making that score 28-0.
Man, you have nailed it. You have nailed it. Congratulations. You won a $50 gift certificate from Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Way to go, Pam.
Thank you so much.
Good job,
Thank
Pam.
You. All right, let's get one more phone call.
That was a really good description of the play, too.
Boy, she nailed it.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Gary and Emmett. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Gary.
I want to answer three things that you said and were talking about before phone calls in the reverse order. First of all, you said that it would be hard to hire more border agents. Three of the four border states, in fact, those are the states which are the ones that have most of the illegal people go through, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, all that President Trump has to do is call the governors and say, all right, you can put your National Guard on your border while we're building the fence in order to supplement the people that I have there in the federal capacity of ICE or whomever, or the border guards. And you can concentrate your resources in California. The governor there is not going to help you. On the other hand, you've got plenty of resources, and that's not where the incursions are being made. Second of all, you don't have to take a force to find those people you're going to deport because they're already in jail. You don't have to go looking for them or doing sweeps. All you have to do is require the prisons and jails to, you know, basically report, and that might be hard with sanctuary cities, but everywhere else to report who they have in prison, and then you can go through the list and do that way. And last but not least, the best way to build a...
Okay, you got to hurry. You got to hurry here. We're up against
it. Build a wall might be to have a roof on that wall of a high-speed rail and some highway, because maybe the best wall would be built underneath those. That would create commerce. It would make the wall pay for itself, And by the way, Mexico...
There's nothing down there on the border, though. Where would these people be going?
Well, the reason you have that because you right now have the Panama Canal is at capacity. If you...
Okay. We're dead out of time. I'm sorry to have to cut you off, but we are dead out of time. It's 9:27. KBOI News Time, 9:36. A couple of phone calls to clean up here. Let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich.
Well, you know, presidents running for election, they often say they'll do things that they probably can't do, but they want to do. But Trump ran on doing things that I don't think he wants to do. Not only can they not be done, and here's a question. I know this is sacrilegious, and this would never come up on this show, but how is Trump going to pay for all the stuff he wants to do? How come it is that Democrats are the only ones that have to pay for the things that they do? Why is it when Republicans want to do something, that's just never brought up?
I thought of that instantly when Gary, the last caller, wanted to build a superhighway on top of the wall from the Gulf of Mexico to the Pacific Ocean. Who the hell is going to pay for that? You can't determine how much money that would cost.
And then the fact that we don't need one there. It would cost $1 million. I don't know how big your little control room you're in there.
Yeah.
But I bet it's 12, 14 feet or something.
Yeah.
I bet it would cost $1 million to build something like that across the length of that. That was silly. But all of these, here's what I heard Paul Ryan suggesting the Republican plan to replace Obama to get rid of the mandate that they would just put they would put all the people with pre-existing conditions in a pool, and the government would subsidize the insurance companies for covering them people so we could get rid of the mandate. Well, yeah, that's a great idea, and Democrats would have loved that idea. As a matter of fact, they suggested it, but it would have been a huge cost, direct cost to taxpayers, because the pre-existing conditions is how that's paid for by the mandate. Insurance companies said, we will cover these pre-existing people if you put a mandate to make people buy insurance. Democrats would have loved that plan, but because it's going to cost so much money, they couldn't even get it off the ground. It would have been opposed so much. So now we're going to have the government covering people with pre-existing conditions, which is kind of like Medicare for people, which is a good idea, and I would go along with that, but it's going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars, and they won't raise taxes to pay for it. They'll just borrow it.
Yeah.
What's kind of thrown a wrench into Obamacare and other proposed programs like it forever is simply the fact that the insurance agent or the insurance industry is an industry. It's a business, and they're not a charity, and they're not run by the government.
Yeah, we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to come up with a system where, at least people over 50 can buy into Medicare or more Medicare. I mean, we're going to have to go to a socialized medicine type situation. I'm sorry, guys. There's just the way the costs and everything are rising in the medical industry every year. There's just no way to insure people. Okay, here's the deal. The only way you can cut the costs of insuring people is to cut coverage or to raise deductibles. That's the only two ways they're going to do it. So no matter what plan they come up with, it's either not going to insure as many people or they're not going to have as good insurance. That's just math.
Yeah, it is. Know? Sad but
and
true.
And here's what you say about it. It wasn't great. It's not great. It's not going
to
be great.
Yeah, Rich, thanks for the call. We need to move on. But he's right. There's no way you can cover people.
Well, if an insurance company is a business that runs like any other business.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make it different, then insurance has to be either provided by the government or it's got to be some kind of a nonprofit.
Yeah.
We don't do it that way.
Yeah. And it's Trump appears willing now. He said to that he could keep parts of Obamacare, but
well, the parts people like.
Yeah,
like the pre-existing conditions.
Pre-existing conditions.
Like the kids being able to stay on till the age of 26.
Right. All kinds of
but,
stuff.
But not the mandate that you have to purchase it.
Yeah.
He wants to get rid
of
that.
He's not going to back off of that. And let's see what else. He also has backed away, apparently, from his promise to appoint a special prosecutor to investigate Hillary Clinton.
Well, that'll
upset a lot of people.
That might be, you know, and we discussed this a little bit last week because people were saying, do you think Obama will pardon Hillary Clinton? And we pointed out, well, she hasn't been, you know, convicted of anything, but you don't have to be convicted of anything. You can, as a president, you can say somebody may be under suspicion, but I hereby pardon them for anything they've done in the past. Now, you can't pardon them for something they might do in the future,
right,
but you can pardon them from anything they might be accused of that they've done up to that point.
Yeah.
And he might just think Obama's going to do that, and so what's the point?
Yeah. All right. Phone lines are blowing up. Let's go to Scotty in Middleton. Scotty, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I just started reading an article in a German newspaper, and it's concerning a refugee. It's costing the German government 340,000 euros a year to keep him and his family. The man has four wives and 23 children.
And they brought all of them?
Well, what they did, you see, the Germans don't believe in, what do they call it?
Breaking up families?
No, polygamy. So what they did was they put the four wives in four different houses, and plus the 23 children. So think about it when we talk about refugees.
Yeah, it's got a lot of nerve.
Anyway, gentlemen, hey, listen, I'm going over to Europe and see if I can square the tails over there, and I'll send you a card. I believe you, me. You take care.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thanks, Scotty.
Thank
have
you.
A nice day.
You're right. I mean, that refugee has a lot of nerve. Apparently, he's got a lot of other stuff, too.
Yeah, he does. Let's go to John of Eagle. John, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I'm Angry John still.
Angry John. Oh, man. John,
yeah.
Hello.
I didn't have a good weekend.
Oh, no. Hey, neither did I. I got in a car wreck.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I was talking. I'm responding to Rich this time. I had a whole bunch of other stuff that I needed to say, but Rich is just, he's totally clueless. And you agreed with him, and I can't understand what your agreement with.
On what? I agreed with him. The thing I agreed with them on was you're either going to have to raise deductibles or cut coverage if you don't raise money to take care of Affordable Care Act.
Right, and that's false. The problem is the Affordable Care Act. The problem is insurance companies. It's an artificial market. Cause and effect, and
see, I would agree with you. I would agree with you there.
Supply and demand still dictates what things are, and
that is millions per day. That would cover building a wall until it gets done.
No, it wouldn't. Well, it depends on the kind of wall, I guess.
Yeah, I don't do math that quickly.
Plus, the fact the Mexican government has showed really no willingness to help us pay for that wall in any stretch of the imagination.
Kent of Boise says, what side of the Rio Grande do you build the wall on, or do you build it down the middle? Do we give Mexico the Rio Grande? I don't think we've worked out all the logistics just
yet. That's the first time I've heard that mentioned. Made me laugh out loud. I like it. All right, something to think about with Mike Rogers coming up next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out at boisechurch.org. See you tomorrow.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
The Brits may have to hold their horses a bit on that whole Brexit thing. The United Kingdom's High Court has ruled that Parliament alone has the power to trigger Brexit. Though there's one last chance for appeal next month, the judgment is a huge setback for Theresa May and the British government, who was steadily moving forward with Brexit by not including Parliament. The judge's ruling said that only Parliament can make domestic law, not the Crown, end quote. Part of the judge's reasoning was based on legal precedents dating back to the 13th century.
Tell that to the people passionate for reasserting Britain's sovereignty. Elites around the world not heeding the views from the people is sparking political turmoil in the UK, Iceland, Colombia, and right here in the United States with Donald Trump. If Brexit doesn't move forward and the will of the British people is cast aside, you might have a public outcry not heard since, well, the 13th century. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.